Tonight, we are answering your most mind-bending questions. Try our best to quench your Pokemon thirst. From the BCCS headquarters and points around the globe, more detail than Hikari's skirt, this, ladies and gentlemen, is Bulbacast Episode 3. Season 2. I'm Tis Skill, of course, and we are joined by a plethora of people, and I cannot wait until I introduce you to them, so here they are. First of all, we have Bulba Gardens admin, Archaic.
Hi, everyone.
We have, from Bulba Garden, the man known by everybody as Anop and the founder of Bulba Garden, the Bulba Gardens chat right now, even though he's not really that. Here is Satoshi-kun.
Hiya.
And one of our most favorite people in the Bulba Garden chat room is not a girl. It is Misty.
Oh.
And person that made me sick as I ingested him, the incredibly non-edible substance known as PPN Steve, the owner of Pokemon Palace Network.
Hey, everyone. Oh, I'm not food, by the way.
Yes, tonight's cast will be very random. We have Q&A segments, and we're going to have a couple of call-ins here. As you can tell, we have a lot of people on tonight, so let's get this party started.
Woohoo!
Yay! First off, we're going to do two call-ins, as we promised in our old itinerary here. So, first call we're going to have tonight... Jeez, I don't even know. Ah, Full Master. Here we go. Full Master from PM. And... Hello, Full Master. Welcome to Bulbacast, episode number 3 of season 2.
Hello.
Hello there, good sir. Going great. any questions you have for us tonight, or what would that be?
Yes. By the way, the Diamond and Pearl is heading. In the future, do you think Hikari will have a bigger fandom than Haruka had?
Ooh, very good question indeed. At
he's
this
got
rate,
a shorter skirt than Haruka had.
Well,
never seen it in Japan,
enough.
At least.
Yeah, and not to mention that the physics definitely are appealing to Menno, obviously, so that's probably going to be one of the main reasons why we have Hikari, because we need that appeal, and that appeal is definitely there.
Right, she replaces the void that Mei left when she left anime. But I want to say that Pokemon is a shonen, and it's aimed more towards not just a children's audience anymore,
it's
just the character styles.
A primarily male-targeted anime.
Young male.
They are taking steps to try to mitigate that.
Yeah, the age group would be somewhere around 8 to 17, be the primary.
Yeah, especially now that Hikari's in there.
Yeah, that bumps the age level a little bit, but still, it does not bump the age level of the character necessarily.
Yeah, it bumps the age level to about 45.
In Japan, 45 would be a conservative estimate there.
But you have to consider this. There's a shonen show, and its main purpose, you have fights, you have a main male lead character, but the Pokemon themselves also lead towards less of a, you know, not as much of a shonen show, because sure, some of them are very boyish, but a lot of them are ones that could be considered quite cute.
Mm-hmm.
Which leads more
that's
towards...
That's always been a small factor in the anime, anyway.
Yeah.
To tell you the truth, I don't even know what direction the anime tilts to it. It tilts to all these directions, and you can't really focus on one section. It always has to go.
They're just trying
to cater to
a very wide audience.
They're trying to touch all the bases. So I'm not surprised there.
Exactly.
That's really one thing that actually makes it such a great show, because they aren't just limiting themselves to a certain genre. Except I don't think you've ever seen any real giant robots.
If you have tried.
Well, no, we have Team Rocket's robots.
Team Rocket robots.
You had the mechas.
Right.
Then you had the giant Pokemon of Pokemopolis.
Yes, you did.
Actually, Celebi kind of did become a giant robot of sorts.
Yeah,
kind of.
Kind of like the heart of one for a minute.
Yeah. Mm-hmm.
So I guess we basically touched on that one. I believe, getting back on topic here, I believe that Hikari will have a bigger role in Haruka. Depends only if the series lasts longer. Because if you recall, Eiji lasted 191 eps officially, 192 if you count the Wishcast one, I'm not going there. If this does last more than 200, then she will definitely get the nod, but it's too early to tell, of course. Yeah. Ratings tell the story. Course.
Plus, DP hasn't come out in America yet.
Yes, exactly. So you cannot go solely based on Japanese audiences. You have to wait until the others flood in.
All right, Japanese audiences can be very different from American audiences.
Indeed so.
Nekesa, were there any other questions for Mouse?
Yes. This one should be short, sweet, and to the point.
Mm-hmm.
Do you think there will be a fifth generation?
Yes.
Yes.
It's a main purpose.
Yes, indeed.
The question is when. My personal guess is on 2 to 3 years.
Yeah, 3 years.
My bet is more close to four, though.
I would say before three.
Generation six.
It will be a Wii
thing
game.
Think about it this way. AG went from 2002 to 2006.
Take that into
consideration.
I think what happened with the advanced generation is you have to consider the Fire Red and Leaf Green kind of came in there. So I think if we actually do get the Gold and Silver remakes, then yeah, I'll say 4 years, but otherwise I'll say three.
I don't think we'll be getting a Gold and Silver remake, though.
Don't either, and I hope
we only got the Fire Red and Leaf Green, I believe, so that first generation could be traded with that current generation, and that, to a lot of people, is really the generation that needed the most upgrading.
The one thing about Fire Red and Leaf Green is on the Sevii Islands, they had gold and silver scores, music scores on it, and that kind of made me think that they weren't going to make a remake for Gold and Silver anytime soon, or even ever.
Even if they don't make a remake of Gold and Silver, we could still see the Johto region come back in a new game. They've made so many references to Johto in Diamond and Pearl that I'm convinced they will do something with it at some point.
Yep.
But it's a question of what will they do.
Ruby and Sapphire had a lot of mentions of Johto and Kanto too. Actually, look what happened to that.
Yeah,
I have wondered.
Thing too.
There was one thing I wondered at a previous point, which was basically that why not say we get to the next generation, and instead of having two games which are practically identical to each other, they just have one game set in each region, and they have like four or five games and sell them all.
That would require a gargantuan amount of work. I don't know if they'll be willing to do that.
I think two games is probably the most they're going to do.
I think right now they've developed a formula that generates close to the maximum amount of money for the least amount of work. That's just seems.
And that's the bottom line right there.
You have some groups of friends who, like, one friend will get one, the other will get the other, and then you have other people who will get both. And right now, that's what's working the best for them. You make four games, it's going to look even more so like all you really care about is making more money. And
they might do like a...
Well, fine, do two games initially, then do two other games later.
Start
out with Kanto version and Johto version, and then later release Shino and...
Use the current model. Two games initially, and then a third with combinations of both.
The next question
to move it on to the next new thing, whatever.
I mean, it's not like they need to redesign the maps or anything. All they have to do is update them to the latest graphics.
Yeah.
And since they're using very formulaic cookie cutter graphics, that could be done fairly easily.
Relatively easy. Yeah.
And remember, by the time that the new newer games come out, remember we're going to have a much more higher technology. So probably by then we're going to have cards that hold a lot, heck of a lot more data than they do now.
Oh, indeed.
That's true. Yeah.
Because remember,
it decreases in size.
It's not going to decrease in size. I can tell you that much because.
You know
the developers, will, yes, the developers will use every single byte of the space in that cart.
Yeah.
So if you have like a 4 gig or 6 gig cart, they want to use all 4 to 6 gigs.
Mm. Yeah. Nick, I think we've answered the question there.
Yeah.
Yes, indeed we have. So, FM, thanks for calling in. We'll have you definitely again on another cast, and you have a good night, sir.
You too.
Night, night.
Great to be here.
Good night.
All right.
Janet.
Night. Night.
See ya.
Yeah. All right, Ben.
And FM was a great call. Before we get to our next calling, we are going to answer one question from the random question bin that we have over here. We like to call random things. Let's see. We are going to have, these questions are for Sunny.
Number three for one.
We're going to do, the first one will be number three that Sunny wants to know. She writes, recently, the Japanese TV Guide magazine New Type released a list of the top 100 anime characters. Hikaru was the only Pokemon character on the list at number 57. Do you think Hikaru will be that popular outside of Japan?
It's not a TV guide.
Yes.
So this isn't just what the average person decides is the most popular characters. And if that did, obviously Pikachu is going to be higher. This is the actual serious otaku who are probably late teens to in their 20s in uni or maybe in high school or something like that.
No.
So just the fact that a Pokemon character got on here is surprising.
Yeah, because let me just mention this. Two characters from one of my favorite anime, School Rumble, made it on the list. Eri Swatchka made it on at number 86, if I recall correctly. And Yakumo Tsukamoto made it at number 77, tied. They are two characters. They are two great characters, indeed, if you watch the School Rumble. And if you don't, I suggest you do watch it. This is a very funny series, tons of parodies. But those two making the list, I think, were a pretty good choice. Hikari, number 57.
Yeah, but look at Hikari at 57.
Yeah, considering that she's a brand new character.
She's brand spanking new.
Yeah, that doesn't surprise me, guys. New Type, pretty much, the fans of New Type really care the most about what's current. What's new,
yes,
which will be a great show for what's
going to
be popular
in America. Yet again, you have to consider that there's some characters there, like Sakura from CCS. She's about 10 years old. And you have
you've got to consider with Sakura, it's constantly getting new material in the way of officially released art books or doujin or, I mean, you've got Tsubasa that's been
and
out
it's
recently.
Still relatively new.
And also
it's not like Doraemon or...
Well,
anything like
no.
That.
In Japan at this point in time, Cardcaptor Sakura is ancient.
When Diamond and Pearl comes here,
than a year ago.
Do we think it's going to have that same kind of effect to the fans here in the United States?
Yes.
Yes, it will.
Not as much of a grand scale, but anime never is as much of a grand scale in America. But I feel
frankly, because most of the companies. Well, some of the companies do a horrible job in dubbing and translation, but let's not get into that.
Like four kids.
Four kids. You still have the fans, still watch it, doesn't matter.
The voice actors were great. The people writing the scripts, the people with the spray paint cans covering up things on his frames.
Were lovely.
They were writing storyboards. They were using light bright for storyboards. That's why.
Hey, look, it's a rice cake. Let's call it a donut.
Donut.
Technicolor donuts. Yes.
Right.
Yes. And thank you, Sinai, for that question. Thank you very much.
We haven't really answered that. The question was, do you think Hikari will be that popular outside of Japan?
Yes.
And
I think we have answered it. Yes. We've said
the answer is she's already that popular. Just look at shipping.
Yes.
Right, but we're talking more along the lines of mainstream.
When the anime gets here, it hasn't even got here yet.
Yeah, you know, shipping and things like that are not as grand scale as Japanese popularity.
I think Poke shipping had a pretty wide thing. I mean, if you think about it, after the Orange Islands, it seemed like there were a lot of subtle hints in that direction. It wasn't.
There sure was.
Yeah.
Indeed. And that was a great question indeed. Now we're going to go into our next call-in.
Thank you, Suname.
Thank you, Suname, very much. We're going to go right along, Pokemon Trainer Lisa, and have her responses and questions and all that good stuff.
Hello.
Hello, Pokemon Trainer.
Hey there.
Konnichiwa. Good evening. Yes. And what might your question be tonight, PTO?
Well, I have, let's see. I have a general question, and let's see. I also have a more in-depth question.
Sure.
I'll do the easiest one first.
Okay.
Sure.
Okay, this has probably been answered before, so, yeah. Okay, where do trainers in an anime get their money from? Is it like the games where you win money after battling people, or do they get a weekly check from whatever league they are participating in?
I know we've done this before, but we don't know.
We have, we really have a solid model.
Yeah.
Well, consider this. Where does Ash's mom get her money from?
Professor Oak, where else?
Whatever the equivalent of social security is. Oh, well, hey, no, sorry. That's right. In what version of the Pokemon anime? Well, rather, what timeline is it? Because I know in one of the various Pokemon universes, she's directed to actually own a restaurant.
All right. So we answered the first question. We've made it clear that we cannot do anything about.
That's kind of tricky.
Indeed. What's the second question?
Okay. This has become a popular topic on the forums in the Pokemon World section. What is the connection with the Mystery Dungeon World and the regular Pokemon World that we already know? And also, would the anime help us explain this connection in any way?
Woo.
I think it's just two separate things altogether.
It's probably not going to be.
Ash had a dream.
Because really,
Feels like it is, because it seems like it's all tied to one thing, because of the fact that human was pulled out of their world and into the the Mystery Dungeon universe, but
That would put them in a different place, wouldn't it?
I'm getting Wizard of Oz feel off of it, to tell you the truth. I've been the whole thing between all these.
Well, that'll be a very good plot line. I think the Japanese writer should act take to that, since you have substitute knocked out and then. Yes.
See, I'm trying to remember the Mysterious Dungeon special. How that was handled.
Ash woke up as a Pokemon.
Well, Ash was turned into a Pokemon in the series. I mean, you can't forget about that. I mean, it still happened, even though.
6.
Yeah, 243. It's one of my favorites. Yes, it is. I just think it was really unique. I like transformation stuff. I'm a huge transformation fan.
Yes, indeed.
You know, I think that's something we'll have to look into.
I had so many theories. I posted them all on that thread, and wow.
I'm going to stick with it's only a dream.
One of the most Go ahead.
One of the most popular theories was that there was a meteor that kind of made the dinosaurs go extinct. Well, when Pokemon were created, there was the meteor that struck the Earth, and Pokemon were created from that. But in a different alternate universe, the world collided and it made humans go extinct or something like that. And there's some kind of a, I don't know, something about meteors.
The problem is
alternate.
Here's the problem I see with that. If you ever heard of the caste system and the whole the called caste and Buddhist system, if you take that into account, when somebody dies, they don't not remember their previous the previous incarnation.
Right.
So if you're viewing it as the caste system, it will not work because you wouldn't remember that you were human to begin with.
I'm going to put it like this. I really feel something like this is the same with books and such. It goes up to an author and says, man, I think this and this and this is in your book. You know, I read this and this, and they look at the person and say, well, man, you know, I just wrote this. I did not write any of that in the book. I really feel sometimes people write too many things into anime or literature. It isn't there. Sometimes it's, a lot of times it's just a much simpler answer.
But it is. A standalone subplot volume. Someone who was turned into a Pokemon and then had to do a bunch of things.
Yeah, it could be being one episode deal, kind of like the Chrono Trigger anime was.
You think you could have based the Mystery Dungeon thing on what happened in episode 243?
No,
completely different idea.
Yeah, I realize that, but it's sort of the same idea as in terms of Pokemon transformations, but it was handled differently.
The thing is, though, you're talking about a generation gap and a different ideal.
The only thing the dungeon has in common with Pokemon is that Pokemon characters were used in a dungeon modeled game.
Yeah, that series is old.
It was a hack and
slash. That dungeon series has been around for a long, long time.
Oh, yeah.
Usually it's paired up with Final Fantasy characters.
Yeah. There you go. They use other characters from other games and other anime series in that dungeon series. Mm-hmm. So.
And, VGL, thank you for calling again.
All right, thank you.
All right, thank you for calling again.
Bye.
Okay, see you.
Yeah.
And thank you, PTL, for calling. And while we compose ourselves, why don't you compose yourself with this message?
Hi, my name is Satoshi Kun, and this is my good friend Misty here. And we would like to tell you about Bulba Garden, the channel, which is a chat based on IRC that is on the Bulba Garden website, where you can access it through IRC. Instructions are on the webpage, and what you do is you want to join server irc.pocketmonsters.net and join Channel Bulba Garden if you already know MRC. If not, you can just use the Java chat and come chat with us sometime. And you never know, you might meet some new people, you might meet some odd people, you might have a good time. So we really would love to see you there.
Bulbacast, episode 3 of season 2. We're going to get to another question here from Suname. We're going to answer a few more questions here, so this is going to be more Q&A, which everybody loves, apparently. Let's see if we can find a question that we have not answered in the last thing here. Okay. Here's a question that's going to spark a little bit of controversy. Here we go. Suname writes here, it's been almost a whole season since PUSA took over the English dub of Pokemon from 4Kids. How do they compare in production value?
Couldn't tell you because I never listened to the English dub.
Yeah, see the problem with that is we would have to have people that actually watch the thing. I watched about 5 minutes. Well, actually,
we've got someone who does.
Well, we have someone who does. So.
I chat in the channel full of people as well, and from what I've heard, it has gotten better, and even if it isn't as good as it was, people are starting to get used to it more, and the real fans, or the main fans, are starting to enjoy it again because they already enjoyed Pokemon.
Well, see, my opinion of the dub as time has gone on is basically it's gotten to the point where I've gotten used to pretty much everyone. The only person who I can't really stand is Ash, and I don't know why Sarah just can't get it, but it just irks me a little, and it's just a constant presence. Everyone else I can deal with, Ash I can't, and it's really kind of obnoxious that some of the characters who are done very well, like May, we're never going to see her again. So it's kind of a bit frustrating there.
But remember, Ash was kind of annoying in the first season of Indigo.
Oh, God, I remember when...
He sure was.
I remember when Kids WB showed The Road to Indigo, and I first heard that voice. It's like, ow, 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 oh, that voice hurts
It was even more fun when it was run in syndication. But I think we've pretty much touched most of the bases on that. Well, here's how. Well, we're talking about production value here, because remember, we have to touch everything, not just voice acting. We have to touch about production standards. Four Kids, remember, they used to like to cut a lot of things and paint over them.
Yeah, it did seem like Four Kids was really getting kind of bad with that. I mean, it's like turning rice balls into sandwiches.
Kind of bad.
But PUSA, it suddenly stopped. So it felt like they were actually bringing it back to the standard of around Indigo.
Here's a couple.
Spray painted like crazy.
Yes, it was, because you had the signs painted off. But I have two valid points here. Most of the problematic things about 4Kids was they had to cater to the WB standards. The WB standards, of course, had to do with time cuts and other things, because, of course, they couldn't do speed ups. Well, actually, I think they did speed ups, because if you recall, for a few reruns that were on the WB at one time, they actually sped up the intro, which doesn't happen from time to time.
Of 4Kids, though. I actually know someone who's worked at a television station.
Well, yeah, a lot of stations
time
do
standards with the station itself.
Yeah, the other case that I was going to tell you was when PUSA took it over, they reinstated the AG intro music to the title. They reinstated the AG title music, because if you recall, in the dub anyway, they used the old classic intro title from way beginning. Episodes 2 on. So, let's go to number 8 here of Sunane's questions. Thank you very much, Sunane, for these questions. Once again, you have the most detailed questions that we have seen in a while. She writes once again, do you think Pokemon did enough for the 10th anniversary of Pokemon Worldwide? If not, what would you have done different? And I can't even speak tonight. In any case, what would you have done different if you controlled 10th anniversary celebration? I can say this in my own experience, because I went down from the New York one, and I could tell you that aside from the annoying 10th anniversary music, which I wanted to completely disembody my head from my body, Most of the events there was pretty long. I could tell you that there were about 500 person lines for the 20 Pokemon that were mentioned that you could trade on your Game Boy, and those preview stations for Ranger and the other games as well, Mystery Dungeon.
At least you had the Pokemon downloads in your country. We didn't get them here in Australia.
They didn't get them in England either, did I think?
They didn't go
no,
to enough
England
didn't
have
here,
Battling,
though.
That's right. Yeah, I remember.
We didn't get Battling. Oh, wait, no, we did get Battling here, but there were only city championships and there weren't a state thing.
Yeah, because I remember McGraw went to a thing expecting to do some Battling, because he's very good at that, and there was no Battling whatsoever, but he did get to download some stuff, so he had the one but not the other.
So we're basically saying they didn't do enough.
Yeah, exactly.
No.
They didn't do it. In my opinion, it was too child-oriented.
I do think they could have involved the fan community a lot more. I don't know how it was done in America, but over here in Australia, most of the staff at the event were not Nintendo staff or fans. They were just hired rent-a-staff from an events company. but they know nothing about the games, and they're not going to learn it in a 10-minute briefing. Let's be honest here, it is very difficult to arrange those sorts of events. There's not many franchises that would actually bother doing that sort of thing.
So, in consensus, we will say that they should have done a better job, and we just
More.
Well, it coincides with that, though. They should have done a better job by adding more. And now, ladies and gentlemen, I'm going to hand over the microphone to winner to have him deliver the question of the week and also the results of last week's question, so go right ahead.
Thank you, TSS, and hello, everyone. As you know, last week's question was, should the Battle Tower be phased out of the games, and has the time for 100 consecutive wins ran its course? Water Pokemon Master wrote, no, they are good places to learn your team's strengths and weaknesses, and to try out new attacks and combos and junk. Fabu Vinny, personally, I am not motivated to get the 100 wins. After the Battle Frontier, I wouldn't want to see much more emphasis on the tower in the future. However, I still think Game Freak should think carefully if they do consider removing it. The tower's main advantage is that it is a useful feature for those who are into pure battling, so it would be interesting to know what the section of the fandom think who are into net battle and Wi-Fi. Paper Fairy, the Frontier is nice, but the tower on its own needs to go. The tower is a little boring after a while, but the Frontier adds for a little variety. TTE, I agree that they needed the Battle Tower at least as part of Emerald's Battle Frontier so it could link to Ruby Sapphire's. I do think it's a bit old, though. I mean, it's all 50 or all 100, and there's little to no variety. If they had a Battle Tower bringing back the Stadium and Stadium 2 Cups, though, I'd like it, especially the Little Cup. I always liked that, and now it'd make more of a difference in breeding skills than to just be lucky with abilities and natures and raising and lowering stats. The Battle Frontier, though, could exist for another generation. After all, as a whole, it's got a lot more than even the Stadium games. Great Liver, I would say that I never really liked doing those things because you don't gain experience points from them. Also, I like what Archaic was saying about it being a hassle to level Pokemon to level 100. Infinite Sceptile, I never actually battled in the Battle Tower on Emerald. My negative experiences with Crystal gave me a strong aversion to it. All of the Pokemon had beastly movesets, insane stats, and impossible luck. Everything hit, everything paralyzed or confused. I prefer the Battle Factory, and I hope that if any facility returns for the third installment of DP, that would be it. Pure battling was never my cup of tea, and I'm sure a majority of the fan base at large would agree. HJH, yeah, battling with a team of Pokemon you never dreamed of using the Battle Factory was very fun. Prime Cup Eevee, the Battle Tower now seems intertwined with the games that should not simply be phased out. There are enough people willing to take the challenge that it should remain in the game. However, I suggest that when you lose your streak at the Battle Tower, instead of starting over from Battle 1, you may begin your conquest at the point of one half of the total consecutive battles you just won. For example, if you just lost at your 40th battle, you restart as though you just won your 20th battle. That way, the boring battles can be skipped, though the challenging battles must be fought again. And our own Misty wrote, we need a full 6-on-6 battle tower, which I completely agree with. Thank you very much. And now the second question of the week, which will be answered in Season 2, Episode 4 of the Bulbacast. What would you like to see in the third installment of the fourth generation games? Let me know your thoughts.
Yes, indeed.
All right.
Sounds great to me. And thank you, Winter, for giving us these knowledgeable facts. And we are going to check in the question of the week next week, of course. And now we're going to go to our final thoughts. Let's start this time with, you know, what are your final thoughts on what transpired today? Or tonight, rather.
This is one of the best things ever.
Yes. SK, you're next.
Well, I really enjoyed this evening. The questions were good, especially Sunane's. And the call-ins also were very, very, very good. I believe we answered a lot of important questions this evening. And
agreed.
I just hope that whoever is out there listening to us in Radioland really enjoyed us. And I hope for many, many more Bulbacasts.
And PPN, you're next.
I have to agree with Tashion. The questions from Sunane, they were very well thought out, very relevant. Mm-hmm. I enjoyed those.
We really appreciate it.
Yes, indeed.
I hope all you out there listening come back and join us next week. and the weeks out to follow. We have a lot more exciting things planned for the upcoming season of Bulbacast. We're just now getting started.
Plenty of things for the U.S. release of Diamond and Pearl as well.
Oh, yeah, there's going to be a lot of stuff happening then. That's,
It is going to
be
crazy.
April, so.
And my comments would have to be very good panel tonight. And I hope we're going to have this panel for hopefully the upcoming weeks, because I've enjoyed the in-depth discussion here, especially Sunane's questions. Thank you, Sunane, once again. To key off of what everybody said, Sunane's questions were very thought out and caused a very good discussion, and I really enjoyed those questions because it causes us to interact with one another, and I think everybody enjoys that. So hopefully we can have more questions like that in the future. Of course, the call-ins, great as usual. We are going to definitely have more in-depth results and in-depth questions and in-depth answers. And also a few specials coming up. We're going to do some specials on Movie 9 and other things. Of course, when we discuss on DP, that is going to be very in-depth as well, since we are going to start getting into the episodes very soon. And finally, we're going to our kick for his final words, so go ahead.
Needs more pie.
Of course, everybody wants to visit PokemonMonster.net, BulbaGarden.net, PokemonPalace.net, and of course the respective IRC channels, BulbaGarden and PoundPokemonsters on IRC.System.info or IRC.Pokemonsters.net. Mm-hmm. Those two locations will get you here, and we want you here because it'll give us the satisfaction of interaction. And of course, Pound Bulbacast will always be open the 1 hour before recording time, and so that's about it. Basically, go to the sites now. Click links. Yes. I'd like to thank everybody for joining us for our Bulbacast episode number 3 of season 2. It only remains me to thank Sathish-kun, Archaic, Misty, PPN Steve, our Colin Fullmaster, and Pokemon Trainer Lisa. And Winter, of course, for doing his thing. And I am Jesus Killer saying, please join us next week. Thank you, ladies and gentlemen. And good night, everybody.
John, everyone. My family.